Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
This is Bob Dirty. Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm joined with Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Watchman Weekly is a Threshing Floor ministry. We can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing very good. Very good. I had a very good day in preparation for the show. Brother Bill, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Looking forward once again to you guys always have interesting stuff out on the buffet, and I want to see what's going on tonight.
Oh, we're serving up steak today, Bill.
Are you?
Serving up steak. Meat of scripture.
And safely to land.
No wine.
Leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome water.
After vomiting.
I'm fearing no more.
Audience, just want to recount for you that we have been going through our shows, and several shows were based on demonstrating and showing the errors of the apostate church and the various movements and applications. And then we had a couple of synopsis shows to expand on more meat of scripture in finding that the apostate church, where it is now in our current events, that the watchmen are dead dumb dogs. If you're in the church, we urge you to come out of the church. Significant events have kind of changed things this week. We'll go into a little current events with Chris, and Bill and I will dialogue, and then we'll continue on with our Isaiah 28 study. Chris, what do you have for current events?
Well, there's a couple things that have my attention this week. We're just talking tonight before the show about, what something's really big going on up at the UN. Everything's there. Obama addressed the Alliance of Civilizations, I think it was Friday.
Chris, can you give us a little background on the Alliance of Civilizations and how they are structured under the United Nations?
Well, it's the, I call it Satan's pet project. And it's over the top as far as the ecumenical movement on steroids. I mean, it's just trying to meld everything together. Not all the Christian denominations, but it's basically the mother of all the interfaith, movement. That we're all, just looking for peace and safety. Really, that's all they're looking for is peace and safety on earth. Which I'm afraid you're not going to get it, I had kind of an eye opener today too. Our friend Kathy Palmer, that's one of our, contributing editors. We've got so many people that support us, and we just want to thank all of you out there. Just the emails of encouragement, articles, because we can't keep an eye on everything. But she just sent me a great little video today about the King James Bible, she's a real proponent of the King James, and so are we. But it was just another dimension. It was a video that just really clearly showed the differences in the the NIV, the New King James, and I think they did the New American Standard. But you can see the theme. I never picked up on this before, but it's the theme in all those new translations, those copyrighted translations, is to the mind, to try to cultivate that mindset of a kingdom on earth. You know, it's all part of this dominionist thing. It's all part of it. It's got everybody looking for an earthly king, for earthly peace and security. Oh boy, I mean, the monster just gets bigger when you start. And it's just an aspect of it I had never picked up on until now. You know, I know the New King James capitalizes the word Antichrist, but
they all do that. But
yeah,
yeah, that totally shifts the identity of it.
It does.
It puts it into a proper noun. It makes it easier now to put into. Place it upon a fleshly person, which they're all looking for anyway, and
it's Edom.
Yeah, it sets the stage.
It's the rise of Esau.
It's Edom, right?
Isn't it, Bill?
That's right.
It's just such a common theme that just keeps recurring here, and the battle of the battle in Rebecca's womb. It's the battle between the spirit and the flesh.
Right, my people, which are of the spirit, and the first time it's mentioned in the Rebecca's womb, there other people.
Oh, that's the first time.
What? I think that's the first time other people is mentioned in Scripture.
Other people, yeah.
The other people.
Yeah, Bill picked up on that.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people.
Other people.
And
yeah.
you know when Daniel chapter 2, when it was prophesied in verse 44 that God shall set up his kingdom in the days of these kings.
Yeah.
And he says it'll consume all kingdoms and it'll be not left for other people. The other people are the Edomites.
Yep, the flesh. And this is it. This is the problem that we're up against.
And it tells you right in Genesis 25, chapter 25, who the other people are. Yeah, I just spotted that today. I'd always remembered that verse in Daniel chapter 2, and I happened to be looking at this, and I said, other people. I said, is this the first time in the Bible, other people? So I started to look at it.
Yeah, I got
to
say,
separation.
You never cease to amaze me, Bill, these simple things like that you pick up on, and they become profound. Yeah, when you sent me that email today, it stopped me in my tracks. I go, oh my gosh, look at that. But it's just amazing. And this is why the King James is so rich. Because you can't do that in these other translations. The words
absolutely.
Are just, they're lost. These words, these terms and words get lost. And, oh gosh, it's upsetting.
Well, it's the diminishment of the word that we talked about in the first couple of... Mr. Lloyd, James Lloyd, from Christian Media, had a significant show last Tuesday and Thursday. With the current events, we've always said, I've always, first couple of shows said that the Gulf oil spill, or the Gulf oil inferno, so to speak, was a bad thing and it was going to get much, much worse. Now, made a prediction to the day of the 5 months, and we've been discussing it in pre-show and coming to grips. If a true watchman that's not blind, deaf, and dumb, and he's not in a 501c construct, and he's not a money changer, comes up with a significant application of a event, and you look at that event in terms of your duties, to serve your Lord Jesus Christ, and to make his followers aware of current events that they need to understand, then I encourage our listeners to watch media. Had a very, very significant prophetic understanding of the Gulf of Mexico catastrophe. And in that, his observation, and he made a prophecy back in May to the ending of the situation, where it would be announced that there would be a cease of activities in the capping of the catastrophic well head. So we have his prophecy in terms of the overlay that he made. He made it to the day, 5 months and a day. And that's very significant in terms of his interpretation of scriptures, and I got to listen to it last week, and I must say I've always had that dark feeling about the Gulf of Mexico, and in our first shows we recounted, you know, what a catastrophe that was, but it was a soft kill type of situation where it would only time would reveal this. And Deloitte actually pegged that time to the day. So, Brother Bill, did you tell me that you remember that?
Yes, I absolutely do. It was either late April or early May. I remember on more than one occasion he did bring it up, and he said it should last 5 months. He says if it does. He says he thinks this is a confirmation of the bottomless pit, and he says, "But we're gonna wait and see what happens." He says, "But he says I expect it to be 5 months." He said he wasn't really making any predictions; he was kind of holding off. And he says, "If it is 5 months, then that's going to put us, up to the the fifth or sixth trumpet."
Yes.
I'm not so good on the trumpet stuff, so you guys are more up-tune on that stuff than I am. But I definitely confirmed that he made that statement on more than one occasion.
Chris, did you get a chance to hear that, or do you have any thoughts on that?
See, now this is something I didn't even realize, that he had made a prediction of this. See, I didn't know that. I thought he just picked up on it, because
no.
I listened to it, and then... I sure spent some time on it this weekend, and boy, you go to Google, you type in, BP 5 months, whammo. They all come up. All the articles all say the same thing, 5 months. That right there.
As a matter of fact,
yeah.
At that time, and I'm going to say, like I said, I'm real bad with dates, and as far as, I would say late April, early May. At that time, nobody was talking about that but him.
Yeah, see, he's really got insight, and I thought he had just picked up on the 5 months after the fact. So that's another whole dimension yet that just makes it more profound. But yeah, I definitely spent some time studying this weekend too, and there's so much there, and I mean I'm excited because there is something to this for sure. You know, I'm looking at I got my study notes in front of me, and I see.
But it's just one more. It's just one more Nazi black science soft kill. You know, you could equate it to microwaves, or you could equate it to inoculations. You could equate it to birth control pills. You can, they're just GMO food. I mean, there's soft kills everywhere out there that they're just killing the multitudes with. I would say it could be. They may have killed 500 or 1,000 million people already with these soft kills in the last 50, 60 years.
Well, we know that they've ramped up all their programs.
All their what, Bob? You know,
there's abortion programs.
Yeah.
The United Nations is sponsoring abortion globally. The rich countries are donating to this cause, so they're donating to the death of children. Woe unto you that harm the children. It's sobering to actually understand what James Lloyd was saying. and its significance in the fact that the spiritual dynamics of this, you know, you try, and when we say Jerusalem is surrounded, and audience, please bear with us, we're way past the physical Israel, in the Middle East. This is the understanding of a spiritual application and a physical application. And the spiritual application of the going into the fifth trumpet is significant in the fact it is a everyone will be cast into the ocean and will be salted. And this is key to understanding the salting of everyone. Now, the pit in the midst of the seas, we could correlate is to the second third of the apostate. And the apostate is being led by the money changers, which is the type of Judas. Judas betrayed the Lord for money. So the false prophets and the money changers, we equate to serpents and scorpions. And there is no, you know, I cannot tell you that James Lloyd is in error at all. Now, as far as the trumpet judgments and how they are unveiled, this is the key to understanding where you are in terms of your generation. So when you're discussing the it goes back to Jeremiah 51:25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain, salted with fire. And our understanding is that at this time, that the multitude will be coming back to the Lord. During a period of time that we really can't give you, and we're going to hold and restrain ourselves from trying to do the whole outlay until we get more confirmation. Do you agree, gentlemen?
Well, I do. There's everything you just said. Yeah, is where my focus ended up this weekend, was studying the 5 months. And, that they shall be tormented 5 months. You know, I mean, this Gulf oil spill was definitely tormenting. It was brutal for the people, you know, involved. But, I don't think I'm going to say I don't see this as being, the final trumpet. I don't think that
trumpet. Can I interject there?
Yeah.
James Lloyd did say back in May, when he made this prediction, he said, will this be the last opening of the bottomless pit? He said, you know, he said probably not. He said the next one will probably be worse.
Yeah.
So,
it's part of a cycle.
Right.
And what do they, this opening of the bottomless pit, it's, you know, in Revelation chapter 9, and then it's in, mostly, like, Revelation 9 is where it's really addressed. But in there is, you know, the unleashing of the scorpions, which is, it definitely, confirms what you were just reading, Bob. And, then James Lloyd is just so big on the fact that what's next, and, is the unleashing of the serpents, which is war. And he was tying that together. So I'm just dying to pick up where he's going this week with this. But, you know, I'll tell you the other good news of this whole thing. And, you know, I'm on my journey, you know, my walk, the shows, the things, the downloads I'm getting from the Lord, you know, we're all just working this stuff together. And it's just so exciting. But, you know, my burden is for the multitude to wake up. You know, I just cannot wait for that time. Like, you know, that first phone call that I get when somebody says, you know, I see what you're talking about now, Chris. I see the apostasy of the church. And, you know, I'm just waiting for that. I'll tell you what, that's all in here because, you know, the 5 months, you know, in there is the birth of the man-child, too. It's all part of it, you know. And it's exciting. You know, I'm just very excited about that. The travail, the birth pangs that we're seeing right now. Well, these are all, birth pangs before the birth of the man-child, which is the multitude, the waking of the multitude, the coming of the Son of Man. And so I'm not, I know what I know. I know what the Scripture says. I'm just looking. I'm not trying to make things say something they're not, but that's in there. And I'll tell you another thing too, that really got me was what James Light said was, what happened to you in the last 5 months? And oh my gosh, I look back on these last 5 months in my life and the understanding the Lord's given me, the separation that's been taking place. I've had a real clarity in some relationships of just not striving after the stiff-necked. And, it is truly a time of separation. The Esau bomb, I had a relationship last week just come to a screeching halt. Cease and desist. I got an email, saying we have come to an impasse. And, it was over the status of the physical Jews and the rise of Esau, and we see this flesh. It's all flesh. Everything, all error, all apostasy is all based on fleshly things. And, our affections aren't things above here. And, we just see, not to say that these physical manifestations aren't valid, because they certainly are. But, it's all about the spiritual aspects of everything is what affects the souls. And, anyway, I'm just watching this thing with you guys. I'm excited about it as you are, so I can't wait for James tomorrow to hear what he has to say. And then, the best part of it is, too, this is all totally lined up with Randy, where he's at. His show from a couple months ago. He's, the Lord's Spirit is leading us, and we're all, coming at it from different angles, but the Lord's right in the middle of it, and it's exciting. It's just so exciting, and who knows? We're going to see a lot, right now. I mean, these months ahead are just... There's going to be so much going on, and it's time to stand in the holy place, folks, because it's the only place, it's the only refuge that we can count on,
Well, the theme I had this week was with separation.
Yeah.
And then James Lloyd was talking about separation, because I had seen recently a great separation of people. In terms of people that I know, there was a separation for an event, just personally, and a separation from different people, no animosity, just, kind of a peculiar thing that it would happen, and I thought of, that's a little strange that here's someone I've known for a real long time, and there's some separation there on thoughts and work, so to speak. But that's what his theme was, what happened to you in the past 5 months? Because if this is a significant event, as he is prophesying, you're looking at a kind of a confirmation with the Gulf of Mexico as a, probable cycle of the fifth and sixth trumpets. So that leads us to, let's tell you where you are, audience. let's catch you up to speed as far as providing some meat for you to be able to digest and be able to understand the significance of having a probable cycle of the trumpet judgments manifesting itself. And that would be basically looking at the pit. And what is significant about the pits of hell? Well, they're unleashing the dark spirits. And that takes us to Jesus in the story of the swine and the story of Legion. Now, before leading into that, I want to switch gears a little bit and tell you the story of the Jewish... at the time, the Jewish exorcists, you would call them, wouldn't you, Bill?
Jewish exorcists?
Yes, when they tried to cast out the demon. And the demon said, wait a minute. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. We don't know you.
We don't know you, right?
And they were utterly destroyed, in a way. They fled naked, so they were naked. And if you take that as a spiritual metaphor... It's the nakedness of the valley of decision. They they were found not to be in Christ. And we're going to give you some preaching on being in Christ. And the ability to go through your life and understand these significant events. And in doing so, to prefer yourself as a vessel of the Lord. You know, the application we're trying to relay to you is directly out of, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And it goes on, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And pernicious is the base of G3081 in the Strong's Concordance, and it's gainless, that is, by implication, unprofitable. So if you're not abiding in Christ at this time, and there is, say, stations of the gates of hell being opened, as was predicted by a very gifted teacher, I would go so far as to say I found no fault in James Lloyd in his teachings.
I would like to confirm that as far as this gospel, he's rock solid.
Rock solid. And we have to, you know, we keep relating to you, audience, and we pray not to be deceived. And that includes James Lloyd. Or I put no man on a pedestal.
No.
In regards to when I tell you, the audience, what the truth of the gospel is in these matters, and that's why I don't want to go into territory that I'm not prepared for with all diligence. You know, our area that we've been studying under is the churches, and to come out of the churches into the wilderness and put on the armor of light. Now, if there's, you know, I mean, it's almost a comedy hour for us to discuss these movements anymore. Okay, we're over that. It's time for the meat of Scripture. If you don't abide in Christ, and the gates of hell have opened up, you know, what are we going to say as far as time, gentlemen? What can we tell the audience?
Right. Plus, this is the same message for 2,000 years anyway. Standing in the gate, standing in the holy place. And in Christ, that message itself never changes. And, you know, each person is born a purpose and a place in their time, you know, for God's purposes. And, but we always have to have our house in order, regardless, whether, you know, their predictions may be off, maybe there's another round of this to go yet. We just don't know these things. But, It appears as this thing is moving faster and faster that it appears that the end is not that far away.
Well, if I continue on to 2 Peter, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not.
Not.
And their damnation slumbereth not. Now, an indication of what we know to be the current events, omitting Mr. Lloyd's, and he has the fruit of his ministry, that is rock solid in the truth ministry. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. That's your situation, audience. Now, the Lord, for his purposes, has revealed to his servants some understanding of the seasons and times. And this is significant in the fact that we see everything else going on. And the apostate church and the rise of the money changers in those churches. And that we recognize Babylon. And we recognize the harlots and the abominations on the earth are their sins. So if you turn on your TV and you see a commercial, I bet there's a sin on that commercial, and it's going into your mind. So we're telling you to put on the helmet of salvation and understand this. Get your shields up. Get your shields up and duck. And duck for cover until you can stand the Lord Jesus Christ as his servant, as his son, the Son of God. Because the Son of God stands in the house of God. And the servants stand in the house of sin. And it shouldn't be harder than that, and we're not going to make it harder than that tonight. Not with this this understanding. Does anybody disagree?
No, I actually had something that just completely fits right into what you're talking about, Bob. I'd like to share with the Lord. Really, just clarity. You know, clarity to Scripture that I've been reading for years. I made a commitment to the Lord 28 years ago. I've been reading these verses that long, and just now, the Lord's just given me understanding that just the pieces of the puzzle fitting together, and I'm just looking. I'm a engineer type guy, wants answers, wants to know exactly what's happening, kind of thing. And I know I can't. None of us can, but we certainly can know the signs. And I've got some clarity on timing and where we're at and what is actually taking place. And hopefully this will help put some pieces of the puzzle together for you, the listener, to just to put things in a row. But this is how I see it. This is how I see it. And this is why this time is different than any other time. Because I don't know how many times I've heard, oh, there's always been evil in this world. Well, this is different now. We've kind of come to the conclusion that 1947-48 was a pretty significant year, and we have attributed so much to that time period. But one thing we see is the restrainer starting to be unleashed at that time, and we believe we're seeing that come to fruition now. But these are the verses I wanted to share, and then I'll just add a few things about that before we get started on the study. But Mark 13:14 says, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And then Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse study that we did, we touched upon this quite a bit when we did that, but it's another version of the same thing. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel, the prophet, stand in a holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Okay, so, folks, God's remnant is seeing the abomination right now. Not everybody's seeing it. So this is a key word here is see. When ye shall see. God's people see what's going on right now. And the abomination has aspects to it, I just narrow them down to two verses, in Scripture. One would be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and where we see the man of sin, the son of perdition, seated in the temple of God. Well, folks, this is taking place. This is happening right now. This is not a future event. The apostate, deceived church is off looking in the distance for whatever interpretation of that, the Antichrist, sacrificing the pig on the altar. Well, that's not the abomination. This is the abomination. It's the apostasy. It's the falling away. The man of sin, the son of perdition, has entered the temple of God, because the temple of God is the church, and the spirit of Antichrist is seated in the church right now, because in turn, what's happening here is that the church has become the harlot. The church is the harlot spoken of in Revelation, the whore of Revelation. And then the second, key scripture here, and this is the tip of the spear concerning the abomination and the clear indicator of where we are, is that said apostasy that we were just talking about has allowed this to happen, in that Christians have forfeited their birthright as Israel. And they are, you know, Romans chapter 2, 28, we, you know, read it last week, I'm going to read it again. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Well, see, that's the problem. The church is absolutely clueless about that verse, and they have lost their identity as Israel, as God's chosen people. Because, you know, the church is God's chosen people. And what's happening today is the fact that the flesh has entered back in. The spirit of Esau, which is the man of sin, the son of perdition, that goes in, you know, it's the eighth that's of the seven that goes into perdition in Revelation chapter 17. Well, that spirit is controlling the church today. And what that spirit is the push to the flesh. Everything is flesh. The whole church is focused on flesh. Fleshly matters, looking for a fleshly king to save them, you know, all aspects of it. And ultimately, it's the elevation of the nation state of Israel and the Jewish race of people to a position of preeminence. This is the abomination spoken of in Daniel. And see, this is happening now. This is happening today. And this venom that is fomenting out there around this matter and the separation that we're talking about is all over this issue. And I assure you, folks, this will be the ultimate separation of the church. This will be the occasion that the multitude is martyred. You know, the martyring of the multitude, which is going to mean the church will be left desolate, which is what desolation means here. This is what it's going to be about. And we're seeing this today. And this is happening today. And, you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't happening. You know, this is a spiritual signature here where there's a quote. It's on thirdgreatawakening.org's website on the Beast Watch page. But Hagee said 12 years ago he couldn't have done this. But, you know, the time was right in what, I think 2008, February of 2006 or 8 when Kufi was started. And he had 400 men, 400 pastors gathered, you know, bringing, the idea of Christians United for Israel to the church. And it's an exact parallel to what Esau did in Genesis. And hey, Bill, can you help me out on that one?
With
the 400 men, Esau, yeah, 400 men?
Yeah, that was, yeah, when they met Jacob when he was crossing with his wives and handmaidens and their family there.
Dividing him into 400 men
that, Jacob had divided his family into three groups, I think.
Uh-huh.
And, it's quite a coincidence. I don't know if they're trying to copy it or they maybe they know actually that they are Esau. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like the chicken or the egg kind of thing. But, you know, these prophetic signatures are everywhere, which is, you know, what we're seeing with this 5 months. I mean, I know there's some deception there. I mean, you know, I know the Masons know what they're doing, and they're, you know, I still maintain that they're counterfeiting scripture, you know.
Chris, there is nothing wrong with that assessment.
No.
We have the technologies in place to deal, these fulfillment of prophecies, you know, they probably have a temple ready to come out of some mountain that's on hydraulics.
Yeah,
you know?
Which has nothing to do with the prophecy. I mean, yeah, it's a fleshly manifestation of scripture.
For fear, they want you to fear so that they can handle the
power. It is such fear. Yeah.
Remember, they work for the prince and power of the air. They work for the dragon himself.
Let me go ahead and read this. I pulled up this quote from Hagee. It says, Dr. John Hagee, the American evangelical pastor who last month announced plans for a Christian-style APAC, says the organization is a canopy group encompassing Christian supporters of Israel from across America and is coming together with a speed and harmony I never would have believed possible. Hagee says he attempted something similar, though on a smaller scale, 25 years ago, but to no avail. I called 30 pastors together. At the end of the first hour, I lost 29 of them. Now, by contrast, I called 400 pastors, and all 400 have agreed to participate in Christian United for Israel.
Okay, what did you just see right there, Chris? I identified something big time right there.
Okay, what? Bill, yeah, I can imagine. What is it? I can hardly wait.
I told you Remember I told you how many times a 3 is followed by a 40 in Scripture?
Yeah.
It's just all over Scripture, a 3 followed by a 40. And Moses was in the wilderness for 3 months and on Mount Sinai for 40 days.
Oh, yeah.
The 30 years before Isaac was weaned, then 400 years they were tested. Well, he just said first he called 30 pastors.
I know.
That's three times 10.
Well, I know the Lord gives. The Lord gives us these signatures. I know it's from Him.
So where did He come up with this? Where did He get these numbers?
I think the Lord put it on His heart.
The church.
I think the Lord put it on His heart. You know, for His purpose.
Yes, He is a vessel of wrath. He is a vessel of wrath. The church is fully leavened. He couldn't get 25 years ago. He couldn't get 29 people together because they were like, "You're an heir. That is not the gospel." Now it's a confirmation that you got 400 together.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay? If you don't think you're in the Babylonian church, and you see these events happening, and you're not coming out, and you're hanging on, I assure you to have understanding, okay, that it is the holiness of the Son, okay, abiding in Jesus Christ, the repentance of sins, okay, or you're sentencing yourself to death.
And see, what I'm saying here, just to put more clarity to these words about what is taking place. Okay, so we just looked at that, and we're at a place now that we weren't at 25 years ago. See, this wasn't happening. You know, Hagee tried to get this going 25 years ago. He couldn't get it going. It's happening now, folks, because when that quote was written, that thing was written, I think, 2006, if I'm not mistaken. There's a video on Kufi's website right now with Lieberman and Hagee, and they are venomous. And they're going after Ahmadinejad right now with a vengeance that it's 1984, the movie. You know, the Goldstein, the bad guy in the movie 1984. That's what they're doing to this guy. And let me tell you what, folks, the venom that they're putting towards him, it's the mechanism that's getting put into place against Iran and that fomented hatred. It's going to get turned on us. It's going to get turned on the remnant Christians because I'm telling you, this is where this thing's
at. What will happen is... Christians are going to be, they're feeding the mouth that's going to come back to bite them.
That's right. And that's Satan's done this. He's seated on the mouth of the congregation. I mean, it's happening right now. But see, this is what I'm saying. The Lord is so clear about where we're at and what to do. What did we just read? Mark, chapter 13, Matthew 24. Mark 13 says, when you see these things come to pass, let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. In other words, let them that are in the church get the hell out. Run, flee to the mountains, flee to the wilderness. And Matthew 24.
He says, don't go back and get your coat.
Just
go.
This is what this is saying. This is happening now. Folks, get out of church. Get out of the corporate church. Because that's Judea. That's a metaphor for what we're seeing here. The Lord is instructing you. And I don't know if that's clear enough, but Revelation 18 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. See, this is what's happening, folks. And, we went over it last week. The fruitful field is now counted as a forest. And the forest is the multitude where God's wrath is coming down upon. And we believe the separation is taking place right now. And we believe that the people that are called out of the church, that come out now, before the tribulation starts, before the trumpets sound, that you will be protected. You will be accounted worthy to escape these things. Because the multitude in the church during the tribulation, it doesn't end well for them. They're saved. The multitude, the one-third of the church that is saved, makes it. But, they're going to go through, tribulation never before seen. And I would advise anybody questioning this to just get out, try the 40-day plan that we've laid out for you, and see. Pray. Instead of listening to that deaf, that blind, dumb dog pastor that you're sitting under trusting, trust your King James Bible and your the Holy Spirit to reveal the living word to you. because that's where the truth is. Because that's what it says in Matthew 24. It says, when you see these things come to pass, stand in the holy place. Standing in the holy place means standing in the truth, standing in Christ, standing before the throne. This is what it means, folks. This is real. This is not some abstract concept off in the distance. This is for you, and it's for you now. And if you don't do it now, it's going to be harder next week, I'm telling you. So there it is. I hope that cleared things up a little bit, as much as it did for me, because I see this as clear as a bell, because the Lord's revealed it to me.
I agree, Chris. This is for our audience. You have to understand. These are the signature verses of prophetic understanding. And in revealing this, you could recount many times we were admonished to do this and that, but here's the final admonishment, because this is from the Lord. In John chapter 8, after he tells the prostitute that, he asks, where are your accusers? Has nobody condemned thee? Now, this is the picture of the Lord himself talking to you. Okay. Talking to you, because if you're in the church, you're full of sin. And you are under a false prophet, and you're under idol worship. But it continues on in the story that Jesus explains exactly your situation right now. In John 8, verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Okay, so you're not going to the wedding feast. Okay, you're not the wise virgins, if you're in the church. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, sin is your master, is the servant of sin. Okay, so if you're committing sin in your mind, and we're human, but we're talking about the Ten Commandments, a very, very easy concept to understand if you have a Sabbath rest in Jesus. If you're the old construction worker that's whistling at the girl, stop. You know, if you can't get by, then don't look at her below her neck. You know, if you're Sally Sue and you're this is going on and you want to do this and that and it's not of a godly nature, stop. Because there's also another aspect to this story, and the story is that he was drawing a line. And if we recount back to Amos, and you'll see this in the Isaiah 28 study, you know, there is a line drawn in the sand where you have been given enough meat of Scripture to understand, and if you perpetually sin, you are under the house of sin. And you can go where Jesus is. And that is why we're trying to convey to you that to prepare yourself for this tribulation. And again, you know, Chris is correct in saying, you know, until the trumpet blows. Because, Brother Bill, do you agree that James Lloyd is correct in these cycles? He's proven over and over again of these cycles.
Yeah, they're repetitive. Can I say we're in the last go-round? I don't know. I really don't know. But we're to be in the holy place no matter which go-around it is.
Your house better be in order now if significant event of the Gulf of Mexico, which...
It's going to be significant even if it's not the last round.
And it's coming from, you know, I mean, you could say, theoretically, you can postulate that we could be correct that man is trying to manifest these prophecies for they want power and money. And maybe their plan was to pollute the ocean and they didn't, you know, soft kill the population, and then they know that the disbursements, they're long-term planners. You know, they'll get oceanfront property in 10, 15 years. So they thought. But they're vessels of the Lord. They're vessels of His wrath. And if you look at it from that perspective, and you're in our audience, and you're saying, well, I get the hell out of your church, like Chris said. Go stand for 40 days. Clean yourself. Understand this. Okay? If you commit a sin, sin is your master. You are the servant of sin. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises. These are promises. Dearly beloved. He loves his people. Come out of her, my people, his dearly beloved. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can we expand on this, gentlemen? This one verse so that our audience can be prepared to meet the Lord himself?
Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Chris. That's all right.
All I'm going to say is, what better advice could we give them than to, with Isaiah 28, where we're heading now, with heading into the plumb line and understanding the depths of the truth, what the truth really means, not your idea of the truth, not what you believe is true, but what God says is true.
Right, either you're going to have truth from your heart or vanity from your mind. Those are the two choices. Actually, that's what they told Cain, when his countenance was low. And when his countenance fell, and he says, thou shalt be accepted if you do it well. I'm just paraphrasing. And if not, sin lieth at the door. And the sin will be your master, it says. That's what he told Cain.
Yeah.
But I would like to, on this 18:4 in Revelations, Chris.
Yeah.
I would like to expound on two things that you said.
Okay.
One concerning Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that he be not partakers of her sins, and then they not receive of her plagues. So we discussed on several shows back that there was three hers in that verse. The first one is come out of her, be not partakers of her sins, and receive not of her plagues. And once again, he addresses this to my people. As we learned, the others are referred to as the other people. But right there in that verse, there's three hers, and two of them are cut off. You know who's cut off? The ones that don't come out of her.
Yeah.
Come out of her is led through the fire. Partakers of her sins is cut off, and received of her plagues is cut off.
Oh yeah, yes it is. Oh boy, yeah. You just have a sense
only,
for that.
The only safety there is the one that comes out.
Right.
The other coming out of her is the narrow gate.
Right. And actually, that's what I wanted to touch on next was the narrow gate. That's funny. You must be reading my mind there.
And, it's not about spaghetti.
That's for sure. That's in Matthew chapter 7.
Hey, Bob, what does spaghetti have to do with that? I feel left out here. What are you talking about?
Brother Bill is very gifted.
I know he is. He is amazing.
I'm glad we're like-minded in this.
Oh, boy.
I am.
I'm blessed, right with you.
I'm blessed to be like-minded in understanding.
Thank you, and I feel the same.
Oh.
You touched on the word inwardly, Chris, and we've discussed this in one or two shows in the past. And you had talked about who was a Jew inwardly.
Yeah, right.
Okay, those are my people. They are, is my people. Now, I want to expound one more time that inwardly is only two times in the New Testament. And it tells you each one is my people and one is the other people. And you'll see it in chapter 7 of Matthew. And I'd like to start at verse 14.
Are you using the NIV there?
the TNIV.
Yeah, there you go. Or how about the message?
The message.
Yeah,
wow.
See, folks, you can't do this with any other Bible than the pure word of God. So go ahead, Bill. It's just so exciting.
The inwardly is only two times in the New Testament, and in both places it describes what kind of a person you are inwardly. You're either his people or the other people. And I'm going to start with verse 14 in chapter 7 of Matthew. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there that be that find it. Then he, right after he says that, in verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing.
Oh, boy.
But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. If that tells you, that's the other inward. They're either inwardly ravening wolves, which are other people, which is Esau, which is Edom, or they're inwardly circumcised, which is spiritual Israel, which is spiritual Jews, which is my people. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. So you're going to know these two inwardly people by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So it's right there. That's the true trees. Inwardly is only used two times in the whole New Testament. I mean, that is how divine this book is written.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, and how you pick up on this stuff, Bill, it's just amazing.
Now, we can for our audience that the word of the Lord never changes. Okay, now this is important to understand, and all three of us will agree on this. Okay, this is from Ephesians 3:3. How that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Okay, so there's mysteries. There's keys to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of faith, and the mystery of God. And this verse is saying how that by the revelation he made know unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now this is key to understanding your situation in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:4. Whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read your Bible, when you read the living word of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will reveal this to you. He will make known the mystery of the gospel. These truths that this book is for infinity, so we have lots of time to work on this. as far as we know. So we're not going to have it all. But this is the separation that we're talking about in terms of you're either going to repent of your sins, you're going to cleanse your temple, yourself, and you're going to understand the uncircumcised heart of the Jew, the spiritual Jew, or you're coming into a tribulation where you're unprepared for. And woe unto you that are unprepared for the coming of the Lord. And woe unto you if your children are not prepared for this. Now the separation goes into 2 Corinthians 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and
Amen.
Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 3:17, 1 Corinthians, and any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So if you're in the church, you're not the temple of God. You're not the individual that is going to be judged. You're the multitude of people. You're the inhabitants of the earth. When we say the Catholic Church is in error, and you say, well, I can recognize that. But if you go sit at any corner church and they're preaching dispensation or pre-tribulation rapture or any other gospel than we're talking about, and you are not the temple of the Lord. It has to be understood among you, audience. I have to understand that simple concept. This is a mano a mano with your maker, the Lord himself. It's not a group therapy. It's not a dialectic. stand in the holy place and you stand alone before the Lord so he may reveal this to you. Zephaniah 2:3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And if the pit of hell has been opened in a event from a, that we know of a man to be in the truth, and we have information from another man we know in the truth, he's saying the same things to see these things. Anyone want to add to that?
Well, you know, like James Lloyd says, you know, to quote him, what part of come out don't you understand? I mean, it's just so obvious. You know, this is...
It's right in Genesis 25:23 again. Two manner of people shall be separate.
Yeah. It's separate. Yeah, and that's the opposite of the message of the world today. The world's talking peace and security. And
one language.
Yeah, one language. And it's just so it's so contrary to Scripture. But we see the diminishment of the word that, you know, the church is absolutely in a famine right now. A famine, not a famine for bread and for water, but for the word. And this is why Satan's getting away with this. But, you know, I'm telling you, folks, everything Bob just got done saying is absolutely true. And it's, you know, the key, though, is to the passion for the truth that's required these days to avoid deception is one that's, basically your existence needs to revolve around it. It's that bad. You know, but the Lord honors it when he sees your pure desire to know his mystery. And, you know, the word says that he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. You know, Bob was just talking about the mystery. Revelation 10:7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. I mean, he does this, folks. He does this. He reveals his mystery to his servants, the prophets. But the problem is, many that count themselves as his servants aren't his servants because they don't have the passion for the truth that God requires, the willingness to do whatever it takes to get the truth, not your version of it. That's the key. That's the key to unlocking these mysteries. And I advise it because it's wonderful.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, the you know, when the church goes, it goes completely. You know, he referred to it also as when, you know, when it's lost, it's when the salt's lost its savor. You know, salt has got like 87 minerals, and this Morton salt they sell in the store now has got 5 minerals in it, and it's equated to the church losing its salt. And he said once that happens, it's nothing good. It has no purpose rather than to be tread upon. And as we see in Revelation 11:2, the church is going to be tread upon. The church has truly lost its savor. You know, it's lost all of its minerals.
And we know that as a fact, audience. This is not. This is indisputable. I don't care what false prophet comes our way. We will cut him with the word of the Lord. This is, there is no argument, there is no, I agree to disagree. We stand boldly. And they can't hang.
They can't hang.
They took the deal. Uh-huh. And we know they took the deal. Now we, gentlemen, any other, I know we got a little over in our, segment, as far as trying to convey to the audience. Oh, there's one more thing, well, go ahead, I'm sorry. Brother Bill, anything you want to add to this?
No, I've covered everything I would like to cover so far.
Chris?
Yeah, me too. I'm ready to jump into the study anytime you are, Bob.
Well, I just wanted to, you know, we had a segment last week where we, you know, it was kind of a joke among us that, you know, somebody had hijacked the Remnant name and they were money changing to gold and precious metals and so forth, such garbage as the money changers will do. But I like our audience to understand that be deception right now that you are facing in terms of being the calf in the stall that's been given milk. And I hope we have provided enough milk for the calves in the stalls and understanding the metaphors that, like today, we're giving you a steak dinner today. Yeah, you're at the buffet table and it's all meat.
Yeah, we don't forbid meat here.
No, no. And that the fleshly understandings that you may have preconceived in your mind as to what you were taught throughout your life, we say, look it up yourself. Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong. We'd love it. We'd love it. But it is this gospel we preach. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. These are his words that we use with the proper renderings of scriptures. And we convey it with agape love. I pray for John Hagee. I pray for all the false prophets. And I could just start, all I have to do is go to a list. Anybody that's running a 501c, we pray for you. But we also know it's a woe unto you. And let the Lord judge you for misleading his people. And we'll ask once again, and ask boldly, you know, audience, please take prisoners if you find this true. Please tell someone your understanding of who they are in Christ. Tell them why they are a spiritual Jew with a circumcised heart. Please, not let anyone be condemned, even though it's the Lord's judgment and we abide by the Lord's judgment. Maybe you are a clean vessel to take a captive.
Yeah, just one last thing. You know, you just said the woes. You know, that the thing that we're talking about with James Lloyd and the 5 months, you know, that's the first woe. And all I can say is woe. You know, there's three woes in the tribulation. And they're, you know, it's, you know, the trumpets, the first four are the... sentencing, and the last three are the you know, carrying it out, and you know, this is all real, folks. This stuff is becoming real. That thing that happened in the Gulf is real. That is a manifestation of Revelation happening right before your eyes on whatever level. That's debatable, but make no mistake, that is the words of the Lord happening right before our eyes.
It is the key event of our time. There is no doubt about it. And
we've seen nothing. There's more going on there.
There hasn't been a hurricane come through there yet, neither.
As we look at this and say, well, you know, 5 years ago, if we had this knowledge, we would not be telling you the same things. Because this is real time. No, this is not... you know, we think this is going to happen, and we're giving you a time. We're looking back, this happened, and now we're getting caught up.
And with the unleashing of the scorpions, you know, that's just very significant. I mean, we're talking about this separation that's taking place. I mean, these are the scorpion spirits that are out there right now, you know, having their way. And, you know, it's just going to be the spirit realm is about to invade planet Earth in a real way. It already has, and it's just going to get more and more real. And I'm just, you know, telling you, prepare.
To stand in the holy place, you know, for his purpose.
Read that scripture like your life depends. Read the scripture like your life depends on it, because it does.
It really does.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I've heard that verse for 30 years, and I tell you, every single word rings clear.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
Why, Bill?
Same reason as Ephesians chapter 4, 17. Because knowledge was rejected.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure we got our scoffers, but woe unto you.
Yeah.
Woe unto you, palsies. Because this is the wrath of the Lord. This is not communism. This is not an army. This is the Lord. Strong delusion. There'll be people fainting in the street from the fear of the Lord. This is as real as it could get. We'll impart on that as come out of her, my people. Prepare yourself. Prepare your vessel, audience. You are the temple of the Lord. Prepare yourselves for this tribulation. We will convey anything we see, but we're not going to release anything that we're not in agreement with. That I promise you. It is for the Lord to do His will that we come to you. It is these truths of this gospel we come to you. Bill, I believe we left off at verse 16 or verse 17 last week. Where did you want to start?
16. I don't think we moved at all last week. But I mean, that's great.
Actually, I got to hear the show, and it was very good. But please, audience, bear with us. We're on some time constraints as far as our ability to try and keep it to a certain minutes, and that's logistics. Chris, where are we on logistics?
What do you mean, Bob?
How far are we from a cutoff point?
Oh, we're into this thing, what, an hour?
Okay. Phil, where would you like to pick up?
I'd like to pick up with 16, and then I'd like for 16 and 17, and Chris can respond, and then I can come in after him.
Okay. Verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hidden place.
Oh, awesome. Well, we can just understand that passage of Scripture using the metaphoric language, thanks to the Lord opening this up to us. And it's just so wonderful, with what we're seeing there. We see, I lay in Zion. So what do we see there? What do we see when we read Zion? Well, we read the church. The Lord God is laying, His foundation in Zion, and that foundation, a stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. I mean, I've heard those words sung. And, they're just ringing so clear to me right now because, and to continue on, the plummet, this is Jesus. Jesus is the plummet. He is the line about of which everything is gauged. I think about, the depths of this, of the concept of the plumb line, the plummet. We see the plumb line in here. That's one of our foundational verses, in Amos, where the Lord lays a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. Essentially what Isaiah is saying is the same thing Amos is saying. It's identical, with different words. In Amos it says, and the Lord shall send unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. Those are just bold words here. I see the plumb line as the judgment. That God is laying. Has He laid it yet? Is there no hope? I mean, I see this as a clear separation. The separation we're talking about now, folks. When is it going to take place? When will the time come when no man can work? When the fruitful field will no longer bring forth fruit? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question, but I do know it's coming. And I know this scripture here is saying that there shall be a time when that'll happen. But, when we say plumb, the plumb line, what does it mean when something's plumb? It means it's true. you know, when a wall is plumb, it's true. And, you know, right. Just the pitcher here is just so amazing. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, and when he's getting ready to lay this plumb line, he gives you some, once again, I think some very strong advice, or more than advice, instructions, and he says, "He that believeth shall not make haste," at the end of that verse there.
Yeah, like don't waste any time.
Go back and get your coat.
Don't go back and get your coat. Flee Judah.
And we agree. Yeah, this is the truth, audience. This is the truth that, you know, there is no time. If we're saying, well, we, you know, there might be time. No, we don't know. We're not going to tell you there's not time, but we don't know. And we're trying to convey these truths, and these are the proper rendering of scriptures. And, you know, when you're told, and you're listening to our show in this generation now, and you believe what we're telling you, what this is saying is, he that believeth shall not make haste. This is your time to make that decision. Shall I continue, Bill?
Yes.
Verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Do you want me to continue on, Bill? Or,
you know, I wanted to say, I'm sorry, I was asleep.
Go right ahead.
I was asleep at the wheel on the last one. There was this one last thing I wanted to say about Isaiah 17.
Sure.
When, it was my fault, I was daydreaming. Just thinking about this, and just thinking about someone that I want to go tell. You know, here we are, you know, I've got such dear friends that are just caught in a trap that I'm just so brokenhearted over, have no clue of the perilous times we're in. It's just so amazing, the fact that all this that we're teaching right now is happening. These people think they have a covenant with death. But I'm just saying, Isaiah 28:17, you know, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Okay, what does that mean? We know what that means now. You know, who had any idea what that meant before the Lord opened this stuff up? But the hail, you know, is the serpents, the judgment that's coming, the judgment we're warning about. You know, the scorpions that are unleashed from the bottomless pit on whatever level. Let me tell you, folks, this happened. This happened in the Gulf. And the next event is the thing. You know, the serpents are next. What's going to happen? There's going to be another wave of serpent activity. And, you know, this is what we see here. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. See, God uses these serpents and scorpions for his purpose. And the wrath of God that comes down upon the multitude, the apostate in the church, you know, is going to reconcile things. And those lies that they're making their refuge right now are going to get swept away. So, you know, this is what's going to happen. And that leads into this verse. Thanks. I just wanted to get that out.
Right.
But, yeah, 18.
And what comes, the serpents are associated with war, too, aren't they?
They sure are. Yeah, that's what James
is
saying.
Yeah, the serpent spirit is it's almost a military construct. And it's venomous. I mean, they will kill you. And this is, if there's physical manifestation of the serpent spirit forthcoming, there will be war. It will be World War III. It won't be a rumor of wars and wars.
This no more rumors, yeah.
This will be a definitive action that the whole world will recognize as the advent of the Third World War. There is no doubt about the rising of the serpents. That's scripturally based.
Any question about this, all you got to do right now is jump on Kufi's website and watch the video that just got posted up there. It's Lieberman and Hagee and some of these other Zionist maniacs, just venom coming from their mouths, telling us how we must convict Ahmadinejad in the International Criminal Court. Well, folks, if you've been following with us, and you hear International Criminal Court, What do you hear? You hear Noahide laws. That's where the Noahide laws are. They're in the International Criminal Court. And here, today, there's a video on Kufi's website telling you that we must convict Ahmadinejad under the Noahide laws. This is happening real time, folks. Make no mistake.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that.
And the venom.
You want to go
venom,
to 18?
The venom just spewing out of these forked tongues is unbelievable.
That's
and,
right.
One last thing on verse 17. The Lord knows your heart. He knows the hearts of these people. It is His judgment. They are His vessels. They are broken vessels that can't hold these truths, but nonetheless they are His vessels. And as this is conveyed through His scripture, I'm having a hard time conceiving that we're talking about real time now. This is real time. There, you know, we had a 5-month prophecy. These prophecies lasted thousands of years, hundreds of years. Now we're down to months, and the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's as significant a sign as you can get from us, audience. And we hope that we could continue to provide you with the meat of Scripture. And we continue to preach, you know, the repentance of sins and the cleaning of your temple, so that you understand our urgency now. Verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it.
There we go. So much for that covenant, huh?
Yeah. That's Revelation 11:2 right there. That's the outer court. That's the salt that's lost its savor that gets tread upon.
What a time to study.
42 months in the final layer.
In the final layer, yeah. Yeah, which is, you know, approaching. Yeah, that's a good observation, Bill. That is what that's saying.
Yes, this is a generation that's seeing in real time biblical prophecy revealed. And it's significant in the fact that we have someone of our generation that actually had a prediction that came to fruit. To an exact date, and again, it's kind of astounding to go to recount this that it was only 4 months ago, 5 months ago. It's sobering.
Yeah. That's right, and you know this agreement with death and hell—that's what they're making right now.
Yeah.
You talked about this whole Salem Communications and these meeting with Lieberman. They're making agreements with death and hell, right? That's what it is. And they're going to, like I said, when they're trodden down, it says here, then they shall be trodden down by it. They're actually, they're supporting their own trampling.
Yes.
That's they're feeding the mouth that's going to bite them. If they could just only see this. And, you know, if you start looking through your heart, you can see these things. Your mind will just keep you in confusion.
It is of the heart that you recognize as the truth. It is. You pursue the truth to get to the point where you recognize that you're abiding the truth. And that is the essence of being holy. You know, the other people. Are we correct in our rendering of other people, or are they?
Well, it was first mentioned right in Rebecca's womb. It's the first time the other people, you know, and it says to be separated, and I got the verse right here. Let me look at it. I got it right here. It's so clear.
They're hijacking everything else. Lively stones were stole with lively stones, or did they try and sell that too? Does that get copyrighted?
I haven't got, I don't know if that's been copyrighted yet or not. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. So there's your separation there. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. That's the first time other people is ever mentioned. You know, that's starting to show your separation right there. You know, as he says, my kingdom will, in Daniel 2:44, you know, the kingdom that he sets up, he says that it shall last forever, and it shall not be left to other people.
And you know, on a layer here too, this covenant with death and hell. I mean, do you realize like the layer about that right now, about this peace and security that everybody's preaching? It's all coming out of the UN. All this activity that's going on in the UN right now. Who is riding on the pale horse? Who is who we recognize as the United Nations on one, you know, or whatever aspect of the UN that we're seeing right now? It's this covenant with death and hell is like happening in a real way because of the rider of the pale horse is death and hell. And this is who is giving the lies about the false peace and security that people are putting their trust in. The covenant that they think they've made.
If your trust remains in that covenant with death and hell, that death and hell is the beast and the false prophet.
Yeah.
So if you don't come out of it, you're cast into the lake of fire along with the beast and the prophet. You know, the beast, the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire.
So in other words, the beast and the false prophet is riding the pale horse, right, Bill?
That's
who they're making the covenant with in a physical, literal way, right? Literally right now, because this is all that's coming out of that UN meeting right now. Demonizing Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad is the only one, not to say he's any gem. You know, he's a globalist mason too playing the game, but he's up there, you know, telling the truth at the UN.
He's one of the few that actually has some intellect. And most of these people are just dumbbells.
Yeah.
I mean, Lieberman's a complete dumbbell. Hagee's a complete dumbbell. Obama's a dumbbell. Bush was a dumbbell. Netanyahu was a dumbbell. But I actually, I'm sure he's part of the Freemason game, but Hamadjadon, or whatever, I can't pronounce his name.
Ahmadinejad.
The king of Persia.
He is miles ahead of these other people in intellect. Miles ahead of them.
This is it's such a dire time in terms of if they're hijacking these every aspect, and they may be trying to physically manifest biblical prophecy for their purpose. It's the keys that we need to look at in terms of knowing our gospel. Knowing our gospel foretells these events. In terms of who's who. We know there's serpents and scorpions are all over. And the next step is war. Anybody disagree that war wouldn't be the next step in the cycle?
Oh, it's just a matter of how long are they going to hold it off?
Right, how long can they hold it off? How long can the economies, factor in war also? And it's quite evident that it's not too far in the future, I don't see. Even if I didn't understand, some of these other trumpets and stuff, you can just look at the world around you and say it's not far off.
And spiritually, let's just take a spiritual look at this. If the gates of hell are opened, and we have another rendering of Legion.
Yep.
You know, there were 5,000 in one man. Or was that 8,000? It was 5,000 or 8,000.
In a Legion? 6,000. Well, there was different ones. The Roman Legion, I think, was 6,000.
Well, the legion that were cast into the swine, was it 6,000?
I see what you're saying.
I'm paraphrasing, but let's call it the thousands are in one person.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have an understanding that the gates of hell are open, and spiritually the dark forces are set upon the inhabitants of the earth, and they are under these dark forces, which is the north. Out of the north will come all these wars, the armaments of Satan's minions in the spirit. So I would recount for you, audience, that it is time to don your armor if you every day, that you do not want to be naked in this time. You are the armor of light. You wear it. You have understanding of what it means. Provide yourself by showing. You will know of your election if you know what your armor means. You know, it's not a physical donning of anything. You can't comprehend what it is because it's a spiritual rendering for how to prepare your mind, your body, and your soul for the tribulation and how to be a service to the Lord, not to yourself. If you're thinking that you're going to be the service of yourself in some armament, woe unto you. If you can conceive that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will understand what this hard saying is. Verse 19.
Let's see, did we just do 19 or not? Maybe we didn't.
No, we're on 18.
Okay.
Anything else, Chris, on 18 that come to mind?
I've got 20 sewed up. That's mine. When we get to 20, that's mine.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I got a couple curveballs for you here.
No, go ahead and read 19, Bob.
Yeah.
From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation, only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself out on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Brother Bill, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm going to go to verse 20. I can't wait.
Well, I'm just going to say one thing about the 19. You know,
go ahead and do 19 first then.
I mean, it's just, I see that the 19 is the transition, you know, the thing we're talking about here. You know, what we believe is taking place right now. Why? Because we see the abomination now. The abomination that we didn't see 25 years ago, we're seeing it now. You know, the word Passover here is, you know, rendered as a transition. And, you know, I'll just leave it at that right now, but there's definitely a transition taking place here in 19. And, you know, we're preaching that right now for sure. So, okay, go ahead,
Bill. One second, Bill. I will pass by no more.
Yeah, 1 second. Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's all tied in there, Bob.
Yes,
now,
it is.
Has it happened? No, I don't. You know, the door isn't shut, but you know, there's a door shutting on the remnant coming out of the church. That's clear, and that if whoever's caught in the corporate whore in the harlot system at the time of the first trumpet is going to be, you know, the sealing will be taking place by then. And everybody's going to assume their roles for the, you know, the Armageddon script, for the, you know, the tribulation, the serpents, the scorpions, the multitude and the 144,000. You know, it's clear. It's definitely clear that once the Lord, you know, throws that plumb line down for good, you know, it's down. And then it's just going to be a matter of everything playing out. There's hope for the multitude, but the tribulation that they must endure, it is something definitely, if you have a chance, to avoid.
If it be the Lord's purpose.
Come out of her, as we've said, you know, 10,000 times, come out of her.
Why? Because the Lord tells us to. When you see these things come to pass, flee Judea.
And he tells them in verse 20, for the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, and covering narrower then he can wrap himself in it. In other words, if you don't do something, you're going to be a day late, a dollar short.
Yeah.
It also, I wonder if this saying came from it. You made your bed, lie in it. But the refuge of lies is not going to be enough cover to covering them.
Yeah, that's what's right here, isn't it?
I think that's where that saying came from. Now you've made your bed, lie in it. But I could be wrong. But
yeah, you can see that the fact that they're going to be a day late and a dollar short. It's what this is. This is the five foolish virgins right here.
Yep.
This is the multitude that don't have enough oil
in
their lamps.
Then they're scurrying around.
And all we're telling you,
all
we're telling you people is to have your lamps filled. That's all we're saying. The Lord has told us in 1,000 different ways to have your lamps filled. And that's what we're telling you, because many will be caught with not enough oil in their lamps. I mean, that's literally what we're hearing right here.
It's sobering, audience. These truths are being revealed right in front of you, right in your ear. Remember what we said earlier, it was revealed to Paul, and he said, read what was the mystery revealed of Christ. Read.
What were you telling me
last
night, Bob, about the word you were saying? You told me something very pertinent about the word in Scripture. We learn it through the word, the written word, is that what you had told me?
Yes. I thought we covered that. Let me go over that again. It is Ephesians 3:3. We went over it, but I'll go over it one more time. It's Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Ephesians 3:4. Whereby, when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
When you read, right. It's a big piece of scripture there, and the study that show thyself approved, don't take our word for it. If you hear the Holy Spirit speaking through someone, that certainly raises your awareness level, and, search your heart and dig into the scriptures and find this out for yourself, and you'll find that it's there.
Do we want to cover any more on that?
I'll tell you what. We're gonna. The next verse is the Lord's strange act, and I'd love to just pick that up next week because that's so huge. And I'm wrapped up with everything I had on my heart for tonight for sure.
Brother Bill, you want any closing? Our audience, do you know anything on this closing?
Yeah, I just. You have to lay everything down and these worldly things and turn back to turn back to the true Jesus Christ, the one with the finished works on the cross, because nothing's going to get you through this. They can holler all the peace and safety they want. And he says, lo, when they say peace and safety, come sudden destruction. Your only safety is in Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only safety for the people of the night of Passover was putting lamb's blood over there. It's the same thing. That was their only safety. And it's no different today. Standing under the blood of Jesus Christ in the truth.
Amen.
Worship him in spirit and in truth. And I think that will probably cover everything that I wanted to cover this evening. And if you gentlemen have anything to add.
I had Zephaniah chapter 2 earmarked for, to tie in with the Lord's strange act, which is, but I got to jump the gun because it's just so, this is what we're, it's just, the Lord has made it so clear to us what to do. There's no guesswork. There's no trusting in your friend's vision or word that somebody got at some cockamamie, charismatic service or something. The word is just so rich. The Lord reveals it. He reveals his secret to us. And here in Zephaniah chapter 2, it says, verse 1, gather yourself together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Who's the nation not desired? us, you know, God's remnant. You know, we're just idiots right now. People look at us like we're complete lunatics. But, you know, we have the truth of God, and nobody has ears to hear it. But it says, gather yourself, O nation, not desire, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff. Well, what's the decree? That's the first trumpet. See, it's time, you know, now. You know, gather yourself, O nation, not desire, before the decree bring forth. And before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. I mean, the Lord's just crying out to us, you know, to be obedient. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, and it may be that shall be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. See, this is the point, folks. We want to be hid during the day of the Lord's anger, and we will. Standing in the holy place, standing in the truth, you're protected. The Lord accounts you worthy to escape these things that are coming. And make no mistake, they are coming. They're coming. The whole scripture, it's the same story told over and over. And it, and unfortunately today, the pulpits are just spewing lies. The pastors are making lies their refuge. Because they're not telling you this. And if they're not telling you this, they're in error. Because this is what's happening. And hey, with that, I just want to say good night and thanks to everybody that supports us and listens and tell your friends. And, you know, just get ready. And it's just, it's a privilege to be a part of the remnant with you. And with that, I'll pass it on to you, Bob.
Well, I think, I want to thank both of you for all your, hard work and all of your studies. I think I'll just close with the word of the Lord. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through verse 17. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for his cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in the unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God, you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which we have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.